Now he puts up, you notice here, a danger signal. He said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The idea is stop, look, and listen. You've come to a railroad crossing. And obviously some missed it, because in verse 10, when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. They missed it. They didn't quite understand it at all. And verse 11, he said unto them, unto you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Now, these verses contain a certain degree of ambiguity. And I would refer you back to what we said on Matthew and our book on Matthew. And I'd like to give you a quotation here I think might be helpful. And let me read it. It's from my book on Mark. The reason that Jesus resorted to parables from this point to the end of his ministry is arresting. His enemies rejected his teaching, and the multitudes had become indifferent to spiritual truth. They were actively interested in his miracles, but not the spiritual application. He now resorts to the use of parables to enlist their interest. The antagonistic attitude of his enemies and the lethargic indifference and incomprehension of the multitude necessitated a change to the use of parables so that those who hungered and thirsted after righteousness would be filled, and those who wanted spiritual truth would have their eyes opened. Now, you recall in 1 Corinthians, we have this same thing. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:9 and 10, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now dropping down to verse 13, he says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Now, this is a great principle that Paul put down, and is still applicable today. The use of every means to try to get people to understand spiritual truth. We use the radio. I use a great many illustrated messages in the church I've served and in other places. I find that this calls attention to people that understand things that they wanted to understand. And they must want to understand them before these things can be made real to them. I would like to just make this statement that if a person's heart and his eyes are open and he wants to know, then the Spirit of God is going to bring in the great truth to his heart and make these things quite real and living to him. We sometimes use the expression, I know I use it in my ministry, that say it, and it's rather a careless statement, that you'll be lost if you don't accept Christ as your Savior. Well, that's not true, really, friends. The truth is, you're already lost, whether you accept Him or not. But the point is, and the way it should accurately be stated is, you will continue to be lost, friends, if you do not accept Christ as your Savior. You're not on trial. If you're a lost person, you are lost. And now it's your reaction and reception of the Word of God that's going to determine whether you'll be saved or not. Will you trust Christ? Will you accept Him as Savior? And so many say, well, now you begin to move into a philosophical realm, and this is not reality. You're asking us to do something that is rather superstition. Well, I don't think that it is, and I can illustrate it. We were down in Florida, Miss McGee and I, and we'd bought tickets from an airline that had gone on strike, and we were going back on another airline, and they told us our tickets we'd bought in Los Angeles were good. And so I called this particular airline, and I told them that I had this ticket. The girl there looked it up, and she said, "Yes, you do." And the plane leaves tomorrow morning at this particular time, and you'll be at the airport about 30 minutes ahead of time. And you know, friends, I never met that girl to this good day. I just believed her. And so Ms. McGee and I went to the airport the next morning, and you know, sure enough, our ticket was good. And sure enough, there was a plane that left, and we got on it. And we did every bit of that by faith. Don't tell me today, friends, that faith is not a reality. God has given His Word. He asks you to trust Christ. And this is the way that the seed falls. What kind of a hero are you today? Are you the one among thorns? Or the wayside? Or thorny ground? Or does the Word fall on good ground? That's the important thing. But all of us are lost. The reception of the Word determines whether we're saved or not. But when people say, "Well, if you don't accept Christ, you'll be lost," my friend, you're lost before. That is a misnomer to say that.